It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot happens on the weekends.
And the world of Atlanta sports doesn't stop.
Neither do we.
We get together like this every weekend.
Now it's time to talk all things ATL sports.
With Chris Guilford.
Yeah!
Man!
Yeah!
Chris has the latest on what's happening with our Falcons, Hawks, United, Dogs, and everything in between.
Live Atlanta sports talk on the weekends. Here.
We're going to make it happen this weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, here's Chris Goforth.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Chris Goforth in to hang out with you for a little while on this Sunday afternoon. Got a short show today. We're only with you for about 3 hours, but we're going to talk a little college football coming up in 20 minutes. Our friend Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine, he'll join us. We'll talk a little SEC football with Lynn. Falcons are in training camp. We got a lot to get to with the Falcons, and we'll do that very soon. But I think we got to start with the Braves. And I really feel like I've been able to maintain my positivity about the Braves all summer. But I think it's time now. I mean, I really think it's time to stop pretending about this team. Let's stop pretending that this is a division winner. Let's even stop pretending that this is a wild card team, a playoff team. I'm not sure that it is right now. We got to stop pretending that this team was deep enough to handle the loss of a Ronald Acuna, a Spencer Strider, a Max Fried, a Michael Harris, and an Ozzie Albies. You know, stop pretending that Orlando Arcia was the 264 hitter with 17 homers that was last year, or that Matt Olson could hit 54 homers and carry this team without Acuna. You know, a couple of weeks ago, back when I had hope about the Braves, we had talked about this team at the trade deadline. You know, just some minor moves, maybe some small tweaks to the lineup, you know, add a little bit to the pitching staff. You know, just some minor moves. That's not going to cut it right now for the Braves. You know, the only chance that you're going to have of making any noise at all come October is you got to swing for the fences here at the trade deadline. You probably got to hit a couple of home runs between now and, 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And the problem is, I'm not even sure that there is enough in the farm system for the Braves right now to be able to make those multiple moves that can move this team forward. And I'm not sure if the Braves are willing to take on more significant salaries that would come with that. You know, now, again, if you're the Braves, you cannot sit still at the trade deadline, because I think that sends the wrong message to a fan base that continues to pile into Truist Park every single time, every single night, day, whatever, when this team is at home. Sends the wrong message to the fan base. Frankly, it probably sends the wrong message to the clubhouse as well. But if there was ever a year for Alex Anthopoulos to go silent at the deadline, just hold what you got, this might be the year. And if you kind of follow the trade rumors around baseball, the Braves supposedly have an interest in Zach Eflin of the Rays, but I don't think he's going to come cheap. And again, you know, the Braves won't stand pat, but is it worth giving up what little bit of trade capital that you may have for what may end up being just a short-term rental on a team that is iffy at best? And that's the way I would describe this Braves team right now. It's iffy. Because there's a lot of frustrating things with this Braves team. We talked about it a couple of years ago here. It's a couple of weeks ago here. It's been difficult to follow this team. They are hard to watch. And you look at the way they have limped around since the All-Star break, You know, this was the time to turn it on here for the Braves because the Phillies have stunk it up too. I mean, I'm sure in Philadelphia, they're extremely frustrated the fact that they haven't been able to stretch this lead out to about 15 games by this point because the Phillies have struggled. And you kind of thought because everything with Philadelphia in the first half of the season, it's like it just went right. They had a lot of what I would refer to as kind of role players, bit players, that are having tremendous years for them, really productive years for them. Everything had gone right. You knew at some point in time the Phillies were just going to crap the bed. And if you're the Braves, you had to be in position and be ready to pounce. And instead, the Phillies have stunk it up too, and the Braves haven't been able to take advantage of it. And this would have been a great time for the Braves to catch them or surpass them in the East. And instead, Braves haven't been able to make up ground on the Phillies, and they've lost ground to the Mets, that wild card in the National League now with the Braves, the Mets, and the Padres. You know, you want to follow a race over the second half of the season here, or the last, you know, ever how many weeks we've got left in the baseball season, 8 weeks or whatever it is. That is the race to watch. That National League wild card between the Braves, the Mets, and the Padres. You know, I think the Braves are good enough to hang around there. Same thing goes with the Mets and the Padres, though. You know, Tuesday at 6, we're going to know. That's the trade deadline. Alex Anthopoulos is going to do something. You go back to the World Series year. The Braves didn't go out that year. They didn't go out and grab a bunch of big-name guys. They went out. They got Rosario. They got Jorge Soler. They got Adam Duvall. You know, Jock Peterson came. See, if I'm right about it, I think Peterson came before the deadline. So the Braves didn't go out and make the headline move, but they went out, they got pieces. It was volume moves for the Braves, and it worked. You know, every single one of those guys played their role to a T, and they caught fire, and we know what happens. And I trust Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah, I think we should all trust him for what he's done here. I can tell you, I trust him more than I trust any other general manager in this city right now. So if he goes all in at the deadline, then hey, you know what? As a Braves fan, I'm going all in too. But the way this team has played of late, and I know they won yesterday, but the way they have played of late, I just can't see where it makes a ton of sense to give up too much at the trade deadline. If I'm off base today, let me know. Let me hear from you. What do you think the Braves should do at the trade deadline? Stand pat? Go all in? Or maybe find a little something in the middle? Hit me up on X. Let me hear from you. You can find me at ChriscoForth1 today. And we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Braves as we move through the next couple of hours here. So your thoughts on the Braves at the trade deadline. Again, you can find me on X at ChriscoForth1. Got Dom behind the glass today. Dom, last go around for us for the summer, man. This is it for me. I get a weekend off before we ramp up our Falcons game coverage here. So I'm glad that you and I at least get to hang out for a little while on this Sunday anyway.
Absolutely, man. You know, I always enjoy working with you, Chris.
Good weekend so far?
Yeah, my weekend's been pretty good. You know, I've been working a bit, watching a little bit of Olympics, you know, but just, you know, going through the motions.
I watched some of the Olympics. We actually last night watched the have you watched the Simone Biles? My wife and I both just massive fans of her. Have you seen the Simone Biles documentary on Netflix?
So I haven't seen it on Netflix. I've seen clips. I am going to watch. I am a big fan of Simone as well.
Yeah, no, it's she's phenomenal, and that That series is, I think it's two episodes. I think it's two parts, the doc. And it's really good. It's really good. And just full disclosure here, and I'll apologize in advance today. I am medicated today, Dom. I got a little sinus infection. I don't feel bad, but every now and then I get a little cough that flares up. So if I start hacking up a lung here, you can just cut me off. I did take a little sinus and cough medicine before we come on, so hopefully I can hold out for a couple of hours. I am not sure, in all of the things that you dislike, where does a summer cold rank, Dom? Because I can tell you, on the things I dislike, a summer cold ranks pretty freaking high.
Yeah, because, you know, like, when you get a cold in the winter, it almost works out because, like, yeah, you got a cold, you're stuffy and all that, but, like, it's cold outside and, like, you're supposed to just kind of sit inside, you know, bundle up, sleep, rest and all that. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the winter being bundled up. When it's summertime and you have to kind of sit at home and you can't really turn anything, like, you can't have the fan on and stuff because you don't want anything, like, making it worse, it's up there for just one of the worst.
Yeah, I think a summer cold is absolutely the worst thing, and that's all I've got. I don't have COVID. I don't have anything. I've just got I got a little sinus drainage, a little bit of congestion, and a little bit of a cough, and so this is where we are. Hopefully, it does not choose to linger too long. We got a lot to get to today. We'll get some college football talk next. Our buddy Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine, he'll be with us. Last time we talked to Lynn, he was in Dallas. This was 2 weeks ago. He was in Dallas for the SEC Media Days. We'll get his take on how it was in Dallas this year. We'll talk a little SEC football with him. And then, of course, next hour, we go all Falcons. We got five Falcons questions coming up. Joe Patrick, our Falcons reporter here at 92.9 The Game, he'll join us. Joe's been at training camp all week. He was he was with the Falcons last night. Then Dave Cohen, who's the play-by-play voice at Georgia State, we'll talk some Panther football today at 4 when Dave joins us. Let's talk a little SEC football to get us going. We'll do that next. Chris Goforth hanging with you on this Sunday right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and always on the Odyssey app.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Chris Goforth.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for us to head back out on the wait4.com hotline today. Let's visit with our friend Lynn Scarborough. Last time Lynn was with us, he was headed to Dallas for SEC Media Days. Lynn is with Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. If you don't have your copy, it's out, it's available, and it's on the newsstands right now. So, Lynn, what'd you think? How different was it being in Dallas for SEC Media Days?
Really different, Chris, in a lot of ways. This was the 40th since Scoot Pudgeons stopped having the Skyriders tour back in the early 1980s. This was the 40th time. I've attended 36 of them. And this one was unique among all that was done for a number of reasons. The first place, it being in Dallas, being out on now the geographic fringe of the conference. And I know they did that, because it's new markets coming in, bringing in Texas and Oklahoma, having the first real opportunity to have the stations in Oklahoma and the media, the print media in Oklahoma and Texas wanting to be there. We've had A&M, of course, and have had the Houston and college station areas in the southern part. So it was unusual having that first time since we expanded the league that we're having a free-for-all, having no divisions. So that was interesting in the way that you rank the teams and the way the rivalries would be set up there. I thought with us, you know, you had players there representing teams that even last year were on a different SEC team. So it was when the transfer portal, you know, started, it just continues to have more and more emphasis on that. You had three or four brand new coaches, so it was interesting that way. And of course, where you and I have been together before, they had it was inconvenient for a lot of folks getting out there. I mean, you being one, and people from Florida and South Carolina, Georgia, we didn't have as many media representatives from those areas as we've had in past years. But with that being said, the Radio Row area, and I've attended this event in Birmingham, Nashville, Atlanta, and now Dallas. And while Dallas has some inconveniences to it, his Radio Row area was the best we've had. It was larger, it was wider, Chris. You know how when we've been in Birmingham, and particularly in Atlanta, that everybody's just really pushed right up against each other, and what's being said at table A can be heard at table B, and you just don't have the room to operate. And it was much more spacious, and it was really the best setup we've had for the Radio Row portion, in my mind, at any location that we've had them over the last four decades. But still, you know, there were drawbacks. I feel like the coaches maybe were a little more reserved and careful in what they said. And I think maybe that's because the instantaneous portion, you know, a lot of folks, you know, didn't come, I'm sure, because of the expense to get there and how long it takes to get there. And the fact that within, you know, 5 minutes of when something said, you know it. You're in Atlanta, and you know what's happening in Dallas 5 minutes previously. It's because of SEC Network and ESPN and so much obvious carried by radio and instantaneously transcribing things and having them ready to be sent out to you know, to people around the region that cover the league. So it's you know, it was different in that way. I feel like particularly Missouri and Mississippi, you know, those two teams, Lindy's have a ranked in the top 10. We got Ole Miss number 5 and Missouri number 9. I know the league didn't rank them quite that high, but, you know, but Missouri has, you know, has never been this high, you know, with us or anybody else. And, you know, we had, we have Ole Miss 3rd in the conference, and the media had them, I think, 4th, and Missouri 6th, maybe, and we had them 5th. But I think those coaches were a little more reserved. In fairness to Coach Kiffin, you know, his father, a legendary coach in his own right, Monty Kiffin, had died the previous week. And I think that's one reason, maybe, Chris, that he was more subdued.
Yeah.
Another being the fact that he realizes the target's on his back. You know, he's kind of quietly put the transfer portal together. He had the best transfer portal class in Colorado in the country. And I think he didn't want to provide bulletin board material for folks because he's always kind of been under the radar. Hey, the target's on the back of Ole Miss this year. And you know, and they, it's a lot of folks are saying they're going to be in the college football playoff. And for a team that's never even made it to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, for him to now be sitting there with the possibility of going to the college football playoff, that's a little bit, you know, a little bit different. And of course, we hadn't had Missouri in that position, you know, in a long time. And I think, you know, Florida is under the gun because of the difficulty of their schedule. We'll see if that's legit or not. It may be that, I mean, they got a tough schedule on paper, but is Miami and Central Florida and, you know, some of the teams they've got there, are they really as good as their name has them being? So that's going to be an interesting angle to see what Florida does.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. It's out. It's available. You can learn more at lindysports.com. Texas and Oklahoma, Lynn, are they ready for the SEC?
They think they are. We'll see whether or not they are. You know, Texas finished 2nd in the poll. We've got them 2nd in Lindy's. I mean, they're loaded. There's no question about that. But we'll see. It's certainly a case where the coach at Texas is very familiar with the SEC. I mean, Sarkisian's no stranger to the conference. So I think they know what they're getting into, and I don't mean this to be bad on the Big 12, but when you've got the possibility every week of playing Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, Florida, those guys, as opposed to, and I don't mean it bad, but Iowa State and Texas Tech and whoever you want to throw in there, that are decent programs, but they're not in your, you know, top 15 all-time programs that have played for and won national championships. And so Oklahoma and Texas are used to playing those guys, but not on the regularity that they'll be now. You know, Texas has got Georgia coming out there to play. Of course, they play Oklahoma on a neutral site deal. Oklahoma goes to Auburn. Alabama goes to Norman to play Oklahoma. And that's plus the, you know, they've got difficult early games. You know, you've got LSU playing Southern Cal, Texas A&M playing Notre Dame, Texas plays Michigan, the defending national champion. So you've got some really difficult games before you get into the gauntlet that you have in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, Lynn,
that is going to be new to them.
You talk about those early season games, Lynn. What would a win for Arkansas at Oklahoma State in week two, what could that mean for Sam Pittman?
Well, it'd be huge. It would be huge because they're picked, you know, like 12th in the conference or 14th in the conference out of 16 teams. And they, you know, they need a win. They do not get stuck. And, of course, they play Texas now. You know, that's renewing what was one of the great rivalries back in the 60s and 50s, 60s, 70s, the Arkansas-Texas matchup. And, hey, but I'll tell you, it's going to be tougher on Arkansas having Oklahoma and Texas in, because that's been real fertile ground for Arkansas to be recruiting, and their advantage has been saying, yeah, you come over here and play with us, and you go play against Southeastern Conference teams, not Big 12 teams. Well, now they've got Oklahoma, Texas A&M all right there that are rivals in recruiting, but also now rivals in the conference. So I don't think that makes Pittman's job any easier.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine, hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk a little SEC football as we get geared up for the season that is fast approaching. Lynn, where is the star power in the SEC this year? Is it Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe, that quarterback position? Where do you think the star power is in the conference?
Yeah, I think it's quarterback position. You know, I think Jackson Dart has a legitimate shot at being a Heisman Trophy candidate. Texas, the starting quarterback at Texas, has a legitimate shot, and I don't think it's just Milroe and Beck. You've got four or five really headliner quarterbacks, but maybe the more important quarterbacks, Chris, might be Nussmeier. Is it Nussmeier?
Yes.
at LSU? Maybe Peyton Thorne at Auburn. Because you've got some teams that are solid, but they're not put up there as high as those teams that's got these big name quarterbacks. And there have been a lot of times in the SEC, hey, Daniels at LSU's won. And nobody had him as a Heisman contender, and LSU is a national championship contender when you started with Daniels, that kind of thing. So you've had, I know I cover Auburn in Alabama, and I know, you know, Alabama back in the late 80s, I guess, they had an undefeated team with a quarterback that started like at third string. Hey, Auburn, back in the days of Bo Jackson, they had a guy named Randy Campbell that was started at Auburn as a third string quarterback, and he led them to the SEC championship, and actually were named national champion by two or three sources that year. So, you know, is it going to be Milroe or Beck or Dart or one of them, or is it going to be somebody that comes along that kind of surprises you? That, you know, and maybe it's going to be great quarterback play that validates Missouri being where they are. Or maybe, maybe Florida. The quarterback from Wisconsin who has moved to Florida is going to prove that Florida was good for him the way that Russell Wilson was when he moved from North Carolina State to Wisconsin. you know, so there might be a hidden gem somewhere that's going to come through that we're not really looking at and giving the right kind of attention.
Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Lynn, last question to wrap things up. The Vegas odds makers have Billy Napier at Florida as the favorite to be the first coach fired. Not the first SEC coach fired. First coach in the country to be fired. Did you see or hear anything at SEC Media Days that leads you to think Vegas may not be right?
Yeah, I did. And I'm not saying they're wrong. But, you know, they start with Miami. They end with Florida State. And bookend in the middle of there, they go to Tennessee. They've got a gauntlet of five consecutive SEC games that on paper look very difficult. But is Miami really that good? I mean, they're going by their name, and they're rated ahead of Florida. But didn't they go just like 50-50 last year and lose in their bowl game? Is Gus Malzahn really loaded? I know they had a good team last year, but they lost a lot. Are these teams that they're playing really as difficult compared to Florida as you think? If they go 4-8, I mean they need badly to beat Central Florida and beat Miami. If they do, then they're going to be already a surprise. But if they lose, I think that's two of their first four ball games, and you know, and they've still got the gauntlet they've got to go to and close Florida State. I think that saying Napier is on the hot seat absolutely is valid. However, maybe this could be a surprise. Florida could be one of the surprise teams in the league. Hey, if they were to win eight games out of the schedule they're playing, heck, I may vote for him as SEC Coach of the Year. And that's possible. It's also possible they don't even win four games. Yeah. I mean, it's tough on paper, Chris, but is it going to really turn out to be that tough? Another interesting aspect to be looking at when the conference season gets underway.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Lynn, it is almost time. We're still in talking season, but we get a little bit closer to getting this thing started. Always appreciate the time with you, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up again as we go through this season.
Yeah, let's do it again. Thanks, Chris.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Check him out. Go to lindysports.com. Stick around. We've got more to get to here. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekends with Chris Goforth.
This weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon. Thanks to Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's.com giving us a little bit of time hanging out. Got a chance to talk a little college football. We're going to talk some more college football coming up during the 4 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. Dave Cohen, he is the play-by-play voice of the Georgia State Panthers. He'll be with us. We'll talk a little Georgia State football. Lots going on there. Dale McGee taking over that program. And it kind of a weird time. Sean Elliott stepped down right after spring practice starts, and then Dale McGee, who had a ton of success in this state as a very good high school coach, very well connected in the high school community, which I think should play well for him at Georgia State. But as we all know, you got to get in the transfer portal if you want to be productive. This, to me, for him at least, feels like it's almost kind of like it's not really year one. I think for Dale McGee, this is like year zero. And what I mean by that is the clock, quote unquote, and every head coach has a ticking clock, right? It's just a matter of when it starts. I don't think the clock for him would start until next year. I think because of the situation surrounding when he took over this job, you got to give him a little bit of a pass this year. They got a schedule though that is it's going to be tough. We'll talk about it with Dave Cohen again. We'll get to that coming up at 4 o'clock. Braves and Mets underway from New York. They're already in the top of the fourth inning, and the Braves with a 3-0 lead over the Mets. So if the Braves can win after, what was it, six in a row, six straight losses for the first time since 2017, they can win today. That would make it two wins in a row, and it would also give them the series split against the Mets. The Phillies, by the way, are at home taking on the Guardians. We talked about how they've kind of been slumping of late. Phillies and the Guardians, they're tied at 3. They're in the bottom of the fourth. We'll do our best to keep you. And of course, you're getting Olympic updates all weekend here at the top of the hour, so we'll have another update from Paris coming up at straight up 3 o'clock. So just a couple of minutes from now, we'll get to that. Can tell you that in men's basketball, the United States took it to Serbia, 110-84 was the final there. So we'll keep you updated on all of that as we go along. Glad to be hanging out today. Let's talk a little bit of Falcons. We're going to spend some time. Our buddy Joe Patrick's going to be with us next hour for a little bit. We'll get to Joe here in about, I don't know, 40 or so minutes from right now. We got our five Falcons questions coming up to kick off the hour, so we'll get to all of that. But I do want to, because training camp has gotten started, I thought we would touch on a couple of things. Some of these are the biggest stories, I feel like, of training camp, and a couple of them that maybe aren't getting the attention yet that they should be, but I think they will. And that's kind of where we are with the first one. One of the things that has gotten lost this year when we talk about the NFL, and I think so much of it has been around, you know, this has been a good week this week to be an NFL quarterback, that they needed a contract extension because some money got handed out this week to some guys. I think it gets, you know, that story kind of gets all while, you know, kind of gets so much attention, if you will. There's other things in the league that get a ton of attention. What hasn't gotten talked about a lot is the new kickoff rule that is going into place in the NFL. This is Avery Williams, a guy that I think has done a very nice job for the Falcons when he's had the opportunities, when he's been healthy, from a kickoff return standpoint. This is Avery Williams this week from training camp talking about the new kickoff rule in the National Football League. Here's Avery Williams.
It's everything. It's hard to say one thing. Down to the front line on kick return, the kickoff team, the kickers, and then the returners in the landing zone. Like, just everything is different. So it's just hard to, you know, take out one thing. It's a completely new play.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It brings it back into it, right?
You feel me? Like, the touchback rate was, like, what, over 90% before they changed the rules? So, obviously, the return rate's going to be, you know, a lot higher.
Yeah.
Which is great for guys like me and, you know, other returners. And the roster we have here, you know, me and Ray Ray are building chemistry back there, and, you know, I'm excited.
That's the key. Not just for the Falcons, not just for Avery Williams and Ray Ray McLeod, the key for the sport of football, because it felt like we were trending towards the kickoff going away completely. And now, with these new rules, we're going to see the ball is going to be in play a lot more. There are few things in football, though, more exciting. It may not be anything in football more exciting than a big kickoff return or a kick return for a touchdown. Avery Williams was asked if he thinks this new kickoff rule favors the return team or the coverage team. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. I feel like BP, you know, our kicker and punter, he feels like there'll be more explosive returns.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't know, these kickoff teams might get more of an advantage. So that's just stuff we have to find out. And you won't find out till we put the pads on and line up against a different team. So,
look, I think we're going to see the ball in play more. I think there's going to be more kick returns. I think it's going to favor the return team. I think the enticement to return it is going to be greater than the idea of, you know, a kick into the end zone, if you will, or the touchback, for lack of a better way. I think so. I think it's going to favor the return team. I think we're going to see a lot of it. I think it's one of those things that is, if you're a Falcons fan or whoever your NFL team is, as you this preseason, this is going to be important. I think every team is same level with it right now. And what I mean by that is I don't really think anybody knows exactly. I think everybody has ideas. I think they've all gone and watched XFL tape, probably called some coaches who are in the XFL and say, how did you handle this? What did you find with this? But I think you have got a whole bunch of people across the NFL right now in special teams meeting rooms that are really unsure exactly how this is going to play out, what it's going to evolve into, and how it's going to work. Here's Avery Williams, and he feels like it's very important this preseason for the special teams units to kind of get a feel for how this is going to play.
I mean, a lot of questions are going to get answered in the preseason. You know, you can practice everything that you might see or you know, foresee, you know, we might get from other teams. But until we see not only what we're going to get in the preseason, but what other teams might get, you know, in the Hall of Fame game as well, we're going to be all eyes on what other teams are doing, how, you know, different situations and, you know, different schemes that other teams are going to be doing. So this preseason is going to be really important for special teams.
Looking for a reason to watch preseason games. I think the idea of seeing Michael Penix get some extended playing time for the Falcons is obviously going to be a big reason, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to tune in for the Falcons in the preseason specifically for that. But I think the other thing, even Thursday night, right, we got the Hall of Fame game coming up Thursday night. I think even Thursday night in the Hall of Fame game, I want to turn it on, and I'll watch it because it's football and I love the sport, but I'm going to turn it on because I want to see what this looks like. I want to see how, you know, those two teams, what is it, the Bears and the Texans Thursday night? I want to see how they handle this, what the strategy is, and what the approach is on the kickoff. This is one of those really kind of an unknown in the NFL a little bit because we haven't seen it before. Let's get to the offense here for a second as we work our way through talking Falcons training camp here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wanted to bring you some sound from training camp this week, give you a chance to hear some of these storylines. Zach Robinson comes in and will take over as the Falcons offensive coordinator. Now he comes over from the Rams, excuse me, and has been a part of McVay's staff there for a while. Taylor Heinicke, who is going to be, I think, the number three quarterback, has made a comment this week, and you'll get a chance to hear it now, talking about how different this Falcons offense is going to be.
I would say the biggest difference, I mean, you'll see it on Sundays, it's a totally different offense. I think last year, you know, obviously we have a great offensive line and we like to pound the rock. You know, having Cordero, Tyler, and Bijan, you know, this year a little bit more spread out, lots of motions. You see a lot of people get the ball, so it's a really fun offense to be a part of. And I think we're all excited to see what happens on Sunday.
He hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think he told you what this offense is going to be like. It's not going to be line up in a phone book. There's not going to be five tight ends on the roster this year. Falcons are going to spread it out, and I hope what we see is that they're able to take advantage of the playmakers that are on this offense, because you've upgraded the speed in the wide receiver room tremendously. It's a faster group of wide receivers. I am much higher on the Falcons wide receiving core than I think a lot of folks are. I think this group has the chance with Kirk Cousins at quarterback to be really good this year. This offense, though, is going to look a lot different than what we have seen in years past. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a very good thing because of guys like Bijan Robinson, like Drake London, like, you know, I don't know how many snaps Ray McCloud is going to take on offense, but you've got him. You've got Darnell Moody. You've got Rondale Moore. You've got Kyle Pitts, who it seems like he's building some pretty good rapport with Kirk Cousins. There's so many playmakers here. We didn't even mention Tyler Algier.
All things Atlanta sports on the weekends with Chris Gofor.
This weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon. Thanks to Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's.com giving us a little bit of time hanging out. Got a chance to talk a little college football. We're going to talk some more college football coming up during the 4 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. Dave Cohen, he is the play-by-play voice of the Georgia State Panthers. He'll be with us. We'll talk a little Georgia State football. Lots going on there. Dale McGee taking over that program. And it kind of a weird time. Sean Elliott stepped down right after spring practice starts. And then Dale McGee, who had a ton of success in this state as a very good high school coach, very well connected in the high school community, which I think should play well for him at Georgia State. But as we all know, you got to get in the transfer portal if you want to be productive. This, to me, for him at least, feels like it's almost kind of like it's not really year one. I think for Dale McGee, this is like year zero. And what I mean by that is the clock, quote unquote, and every head coach has a ticking clock, right? It's just a matter of when it starts. I don't think the clock for him would start until next year. I think because of the situation surrounding when he took over this job, you got to give him a little bit of a pass this year. They got a schedule, though, that is it's going to be tough. We'll talk about it with Dave Cohen again. We'll get to that coming up at 4 o'clock. Braves and Mets underway from New York. They're already in the top of the fourth inning. And the Braves with a 3-0 lead over the Mets. So if the Braves can win after, what was it, 6 in a row? 6 straight losses for the first time since 2017. If they can win today, that would make it 2 wins in a row. And it would also give them the series split against the Mets. The Phillies, by the way, are at home taking on the Guardians. We talked about how they've kind of been slumping of late. Phillies and the Guardians, they're tied at 3. They're in the bottom of the fourth. We'll do our best to keep you. And of course, you're getting Olympic updates all weekend here at the top of the hour, so we'll have another update from Paris coming up at straight up 3 o'clock. So just a couple of minutes from now, we'll get to that. Can tell you that in men's basketball, the United States took it to Serbia, 110-84 was the final there. So we'll keep you updated on all of that as we go along. Glad to be hanging out today. Let's talk a little bit of Falcons. We're going to spend some time. Our buddy Joe Patrick's going to be with us next hour for a little bit. We'll get to Joe here in about, 40 or so minutes from right now. We got our five Falcons questions coming up to kick off the hour, so we'll get to all of that. But I do want to, because training camp has gotten started, I thought we would touch on a couple of things. Some of these are the biggest stories, I feel like, of training camp, and a couple of them that maybe aren't getting the attention yet that they should be, but I think they will. And that's kind of where we are with the first one. One of the things that has gotten lost this year when we talk about the NFL, and I think so much of it has been around, this has been a good week this week to be an NFL quarterback, that they needed a contract extension because some money got handed out this week to some guys. I think it gets, that story kind of gets all so much attention, if you will. There's other things in the league that get a ton of attention. What hasn't gotten talked about a lot is the new kickoff rule that is going into place in the NFL. This is Avery Williams, a guy that I think has done a very nice job for the Falcons when he's had the opportunities, when he's been healthy, from a kickoff return standpoint. This is Avery Williams this week from training camp talking about the new kickoff rule in the National Football League. Here's Avery Williams.
It's everything. It's hard to say one thing. Down to the front line on kick return, the kickoff team, the kickers, and then the returners in the landing zone. Like, just everything is different. So it's just hard to, take out one thing. It's a completely new play.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It brings it back into it.
You feel me? Like, the touchback rate was over 90% before they changed the rules. So obviously the return rate's going to be, a lot higher, which is great for guys like me and, other returners.
and the roster we have here. You know, me and Ray Ray are building chemistry back there, and, you know, I'm excited.
That's the key. Not just for the Falcons, not just for Avery Williams and Ray Ray McLeod. The key for the sport of football, because it felt like we were trending towards the kickoff going away completely. And now with these new rules, we're going to see the ball is going to be in play a lot more. There are few things in football, though, more exciting. It may not be anything in football more exciting than a big kickoff return or a kick return for a touchdown. Avery Williams was asked if he thinks this new kickoff rule favors the return team or the coverage team. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. I feel like BP, you know, our kicker and punter, he feels like there'll be more explosive returns.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't know, these kickoff teams might get more of an advantage. So that's just stuff we have to find out. And you won't find out till we put the pads on and line up against a different team. So,
look, I think we're going to see the ball in play more. I think there's going to be more kick returns. I think it's going to favor the return team. I think the enticement to return it is going to be greater than the idea of, you know, a kick into the end zone, if you will, or the touchback, for lack of a better way. I think so. I think it's going to favor the return team. I think we're going to see a lot of it. I think it's one of those things that is, if you're a Falcons fan or whoever your NFL team is, as you this preseason, this is going to be important. I think every team is same level with it right now. And what I mean by that is I don't really think anybody knows exactly. I think everybody has ideas. I think they've all gone and watched XFL tape, probably called some coaches who are in the XFL and say, how did you handle this? What did you find with this? But I think you have got a whole bunch of people across the NFL right now in special teams meeting rooms that are really unsure exactly how this is going to play out, what it's going to evolve into, and how it's going to work. Here's Avery Williams, and he feels like it's very important this preseason for the special teams units to kind of get a feel for how this is going to play.
I mean, a lot of questions are going to get answered in the preseason. You know, you can practice everything that you might see or, you know, foresee, you know, we might get from other teams. But until we see not only what we're going to get in the preseason, but what other teams might get, you know, in the Hall of Fame game as well, we're going to be all eyes on what other teams are doing, how, you know, different situations and, you know, different schemes that other teams are going to be doing. So this preseason is going to be really important for special teams.
Looking for a reason to watch preseason games. I think the idea of seeing Michael Penix get some extended playing time for the Falcons is obviously going to be a big reason, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to tune in for the Falcons in the preseason specifically for that. But I think the other thing, even Thursday night, right, we got the Hall of Fame game coming up Thursday night. I think even Thursday night in the Hall of Fame game, I want to turn it on, and I'll watch it because it's football and I love the sport, but I'm going to turn it on because I want to see what this looks like. I want to see how, you know, those two teams, what is it, the Bears and the Texans Thursday night? I want to see how they handle this, what the strategy is, and what the approach is on the kickoff. This is one of those really kind of an unknown in the NFL a little bit because we haven't seen it before. Let's get to the offense here for a second as we work our way through talking Falcons training camp here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wanted to bring you some sound from training camp this week, give you a chance to hear some of these storylines. Zach Robinson comes in and will take over as the Falcons offensive coordinator. Now he comes over from the Rams. Excuse me, and has been a part of McVay's staff there for a while. Taylor Heinicke, who is going to be, I think, the number three quarterback, has made a comment this week, and you'll get a chance to hear it now, talking about how different this Falcons offense is going to be.
I would say the biggest difference, I mean, you'll see it on Sundays, it's a totally different offense. I think last year, you know, obviously we have a great offensive line and we like to pound the rock. You know, having Cordero, Tyler, and Bijan, you know, this year a little bit more spread out, lots of motions. You see a lot of people get the ball. So it's a really fun offense to be a part of. And I think we're all excited to see what happens on Sunday.
He hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think he told you what this offense is going to be like. It's not going to be lineup in a phone book. There's not going to be five tight ends on the roster this year. Falcons are going to spread it out, and I hope what we see is that they're able to take advantage of the playmakers that are on this offense, because you've upgraded the speed in the wide receiver room tremendously. It's a faster group of wide receivers. I am much higher on the Falcons' wide receiving core than I think a lot of folks are. I think this group has the chance with Kirk Cousins at quarterback to be really good this year. This offense, though, is going to look a lot different than what we have seen in years past. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a very good thing. Because of guys like Bijan Robinson, like Drake London, like, you know, I don't know how many snaps Ray McCloud is going to take on offense, but you've got him. You've got Darnell Moody. You've got Rondale Moore. You've got Kyle Pitts, who it seems like he's building some pretty good rapport with Kirk Cousins. There's so many playmakers here. We didn't even mention Tyler Algier. So many playmakers here. Get those guys involved as much as you can, because, again, I think this offense has got a chance to be pretty good. Kyle Pitts, mentioned him a moment ago. He is the only roommate that those three quarterbacks have. Paddock, Penix, or I guess it's, who is it, Penix, Heinicke, and Cousins all room together along with Kyle Pitts. And it seems like Pitts, and I think it was on display last night in the open practice they had, that Pitts and Cousins have developed a little bit of some familiarity with each other already. I think that's a good thing. I think we all know what a unicorn Kyle Pitts can be. So he's the guy you want to see get the ball. Pitts said this week he wants to be the most versatile tight end. Here's Kyle Pitts.
Just to be able to show my abilities to run outside numbers, inside numbers, in line, and be versatile and be as best key to this offense as I can, just hop out wherever I can.
All right, let's get to some defense now before we run out of time. I think maybe the best news this week came on the day training camp opened for the Falcons when we found out that Kirk Cousins had been medically cleared to play and that Grady Jarrett had been medically cleared to play. Here is Grady. He's wearing the knee brace. He says it's not giving him any problems. Here's Grady Jarrett.
You know, when you put the brace on, obviously, when your neck going full speed, you can kind of feel it sometime. But when you're rolling, I mean, I don't even think about it much. Arm brace is different from a leg brace, obviously, but I used to wear arm brace my first 3 years, and once the game started, I never thought about it much. But, you know, it's just a precautionary step to take, especially playing in the trenches. You know, we get guys falling all over the place or whatever it may be, but definitely the next step in where I'm at in my journey back to 100. So I go out there with full confidence and let it do what it do. And, I mean, you get guys play with that thing, you know, some play the whole career, some play, you know, maybe just a couple months, a couple weeks, however it may go. But, I mean, I'm willing to however long I got to wear it, you know, it's not going to affect me either way. So I'm excited to just be on the field. Whatever I got to take, if I had to wear a brace on, you know, wherever I had to wear one, you know, I'm going to do it if I can play on the field. So
we've all wondered all summer, without that quote-unquote dominant edge rusher, how the Falcons would get after the quarterback. Grady gives you his ideas on it. He says you rush the passer by throwing a lot of looks at him. Here's Grady Jarrett.
When you put the brace on, obviously, when your neck going full speed, you can kind of deep. Man, we want it to be dynamic. We want to attack the quarterback. We want to get the ball off the quarterback. We want to disrupt the pocket. And however we got to do that, whether it's four-man fronts, five-man blitzes, whatever it takes, that's what we're willing to get done. So I think it's going to be a lot of different plans of attack going forward. But, everybody here in the building is capable of getting the job done.
Hang on, we got our five Falcons questions coming up. We'll continue talking Falcons football. Joe Patrick joins us in about 25 minutes from right now. Got an Olympic update coming your way next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.